ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
If you had the ability to call him up on the phone, hey, you know, what did you mean by that? Oh, well, this is what it's all about. Oh, yeah. Isn't that what we have, the Holy Spirit, that opens up the things of God to our hearts and our lives? I don't understand it. Well, write it down, file it away. God was going to show you. Just wait. Be patient. He's going to show you. You know, God is the author of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to us, who opens up the Word of God to our hearts and our lives. When people get into false teaching, they usually don't tell me, you know, this is what God has shown me. What they usually tell me is, you got to listen to this person. You got to read this book. Well, I have a book. Why don't I read this one? Tell me where you got this from. You see, I don't need the words of man. I need the word of God. And that's so important for us today, because the Spirit of God knows all things. And if we don't know it, he'll eventually reveal it to us. Yes, you have to be born again for the Spirit of God to indwell you. But before you got saved, the Spirit of God was wooing you to Jesus. That was one of his missions. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you to the disciples before he went to the cross of Calvary. And he said the Holy Spirit will be in you. That's down the road after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So, yeah, if we want to understand God, we need to be obedient to him, what he's saying. You know, Spurgeon said, man has a desire to preach new doctrine, to set up a new church, to be an original thinker, to judge, to consider, to do anything but obey. Isn't that interesting? How long ago he said those words, and don't they fit today? We got a new teaching. We're doing a new church. We're going to be original. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Hey, you know what? Go to the basics. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer. Pretty simple. You can do it with two people. You could do it with 1,000 people. Doesn't matter. You know, when years ago, before email was real popular, I get letters in the mail from Willow Creek and, you know, how to grow your church. And it would be putting on skits. And I'd read it because I always found them interesting. And so they had in there, you know, all these skits that you could do. Well, we need more people than we had in our church. Everyone would be up on the stage doing the skit. There would be no one in the congregation listening to the skit. So, yeah, no, I'm just going to be teaching the word. And, you know, I think most people will say, you know, yeah, 27 years, that's all you've done is teach the word. Yeah, that's my responsibility. I don't entertain. I don't, you know, do anything else. Even my jokes you groan at. So you get the word of God, and that's, you know, important. So spiritual revelation for the disciples here in verse 16. Look at verse 17 here in John 12. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. So I call this superficial following. Why? Well, they witnessed something supernatural by Jesus. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and obviously, man, I want to follow this guy, right? You know, if that was where their faith was at, when things got tough, when they didn't go the way they wanted them to go or think they should go, they're going to turn against Jesus. And that's what happened. You know, they worshiped him, and then they called for his crucifixion. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Crucify him, right? That's the fickleness of man. The problem was that they needed more than physical deliverance, deliverance from the Roman bondage that they were in. They needed the spiritual deliverance, like I said. I understand all the persecution, you know, being watched by the Romans all the time. They were looking for the Messiah to save them from their, not from their sins, but from the bondage they were in with Rome. You know, I see that a little today. You know, Christians, oh man, I just hope the rapture comes today. Well, I do too, but what if it doesn't come today? What if things get even tougher? You know, we saw how COVID just divided people, even Christians. What if something even worse happens? What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to keep looking to Jesus, man. Do you think that God is like, wow, I didn't see that coming? He knows all things. So if he understands what we're going to be going through, I want to go to the one who understands it so I know what to do during these times. Because if it's really tough for me, that means it's going to be tough for the unsaved as well. And that may open a door of opportunity for me to be able to share my faith with them. They may be more open to listen when this whole country is falling apart. So yeah, it may get a lot tougher for us before the Lord comes back. So what? Have you ever studied the early church and what they went through? It was brutal. And we think that, you know, we're going to tiptoe through the tulips. No, I think it's going to get a lot tougher. And God will use that in a powerful way. How do we stand in the midst of persecution? What is our light going to shine? Or are we going to let it go out and look just like the world and be frantic and fearful and worried and anger and all the other stuff? There is no doubt that the Lord's coming back. I just don't know the day. And I look forward to it. Paul said he was looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So do I. If he came today, I would not be disappointed. I'd be so excited. But if he doesn't, I'm going to continue on. And I think that's what the Lord wants. Occupy until he comes. You know, like I said, life is kind of messy, isn't it? Things happen we don't like. You know, I think it was Solomon in Proverbs talked about it. You know, if you want clean barns, don't have any animals in your barn. And if you want a clean life, just isolate yourself from everyone. Then it'll be fine. You'll still be mad, you know. But when you live with around other people, life is messy. It's just the way it is. And that's not a bad thing. When we get to heaven, all that messiness is gone. Praise God for that, right? But here, hey, let's just deal with it. You know, remember 9/11 when that happened. Churches were packed out, especially in New York, but throughout the country, churches were full. And you go, oh, revival's breaking out. No, it was superficial. How do I know? Because after a few weeks, everyone went back to the way they were. The churches weren't filled anymore. People were doing their own thing. Why? Because the danger was over. I don't need God anymore. I got to get in my boat. I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to do that. I got to work. I got to whatever. And that's tragic. Superficial faith. J. Vernon McGee put it like this. He said, my favorite painting of the crucifixion shows three empty crosses. The bodies of the crucified have been taken down from the crosses and lie in the tombs. In the background is a little donkey eating on a palm frond. What a message. The discarded palm branch and the cross are the tokens of his so-called triumphal entry. Where is the crowd that cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord? They may be the same crowd that on the next day shouted, Crucify him. Now they are gone and he's in the tomb. You see, he offered himself to them publicly as their king, but he was rejected. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Let's not come to Jesus for what we can get out of him, but because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, you know, the amazing thing for me, and I'm sure for you, is, wow, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords uses someone like me, a nobody. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to do that. I don't think here these Jews had saving faith. Some of them may have, but for the most part, I don't think so. And as we read on, we're going to see these foolish religious leaders. Look at verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Wow. What are they fearful of? That people are following Jesus and not who? Not them. Hey, we're losing our following here. People aren't looking to us for answers. They're looking to Jesus. What did Jesus do that they hated so much? Oh, well, you know, he was a pretty bad person. He helped people, cared for them, healed them, delivered them from demon possession, fed them, protected them, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. Yeah, no, he wasn't evil. He was so good. And if they would have really just looked at their scriptures, like people don't do today, they don't look at the scriptures, they would have seen that Jesus is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets spoke of, down to the tiniest detail. Remember when John the Baptist was in jail and he told his disciples, go ask Jesus if he's the one or if we should look for another. John was doubting, you know, hey, what am I doing in prison here? This is not working out like I thought. I mean, Jesus is king, I thought. I thought we were going to, you know, break this Roman bondage and go check it out. And what did Jesus say? He said, go back and tell John that the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised. In other words, what the Old Testament prophets spoke about the Messiah, point to him. Go tell John that I am the one. Exactly. But they wouldn't see that. And it was really easy. It wasn't real difficult. 2 + 2 = 4. Why do people have such a hard time today with the scriptures? Because they don't like what they say. Tragic. When Jesus rode through Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey, you would think one of the religious leaders would have said, hey, that sounds like Zechariah, what Zechariah wrote, right? I mean, come on, we do that all the time. We look at prophecy, we go, well, look at what Ezekiel said and look at what's going on. Russia, Iran, Afghanistan are coming together. They're joining forces just like the Bible says. We look at the scriptures and we look at what's happening in the world and put it together. They didn't. Well, what did Zechariah say? In Zechariah 9:9, we're told, 500 years before Jesus, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Wow. Here's Jesus coming down the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem, riding on this colt. And none of them said, well, maybe he's the one? See, they closed their eyes to the truth. They didn't want to see it. And in fact, the Jewish religious leaders told Jesus, Jesus, tell him to stop shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And Jesus said, you know what? If they stop shouting, the rocks and stones themselves would begin to sing. When I was in Israel, I actually got one of those rocks that could have sang. Pretty amazing. It's silent right now, but yeah, you know, could have. Isn't that sad, though? All the information, and they refuse to see. And I look at people today, and I go, where do you get that in the scriptures? I don't get it. Because that's my only guidebook. That's my only plumb line. Now, if, you know, you want to just be off center, yeah, do whatever you want. But if you want to stay in line with Jesus and keep following the Good Shepherd, you got to follow what he says in here. You may not always like it, but that's the key. You know, again, we talked about save now, save from the Roman persecution. And I think that people today, oh, save me from this, save my marriage, save this, save that. But you really need to come to Jesus because of who he is. He's the Savior of the world. Can he heal your marriage? He could, but what if he doesn't? Is that going to change your mind? Are you going to walk away from him? Hey, I came to you. You didn't save my marriage. Now it's falling apart. I'm done. Well, you came to him for the wrong reason. You came to him to save you from your sins. And in that, yeah, there are blessings, but always doesn't work out the way we think they should. And I know that they were looking for the kingdom. How do I know that? Because Mark tells us, Mark 11:10, where they were shouting, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. What are they looking for? The kingdom. This is it, guys. The kingdom's coming. It's right around the corner. And then it didn't happen. Crucify him. This isn't the one. Put him to death. He didn't do things the way we want it. How sad. And again, for these Jewish religious leaders, look, the world has gone after him. Well, that's a good thing. Now, has the whole world at this time gone after Jesus here in John 12? No. But today, we see the name of Christ all over the world. You know, the Jews in general went after Jesus for what they can get from him. Like when he fed the 5,000 and they kept following him. Jesus rebuked them because they were just after the food. And after they didn't get what they wanted, they just rejected him. But here's the wonderful thing, and our God is so patient, he's so long-suffering. There were those who were looking for Jesus, and that's what we're going to finish up with, looking at verse 20, starting in verse 20 of John 12. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. So here we see ministering to the Gentiles. Jesus primarily came to offer salvation to the Jewish people when he came. You know, remember the woman from Canaan came to Jesus because her daughter needed help. She was demon-possessed. And he responded, he said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I think, well, that's pretty cold. My daughter needs help. She's demon-possessed. Well, he's trying to draw out her faith, but that was the reality. He came to the children of Israel, to the Jews first, and then the message was going to go to the Gentiles. You know, in John 10, as Jesus is sending out his men to minister to the lost, he told them, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, again, that's going to change because the Jews are going to reject Jesus and the message is going to go to the Gentiles as well. But that's not a second option. That's not like, well, this didn't work, so now, okay, Jesus said go to the Gentiles. Not at all, because we see it all over in the Old Testament. You know, Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Who's going to be blessed? All the families of the earth. Everyone has the opportunity. Why? Because of the Messiah, because of Jesus. Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Praise God for that. There in the Old Testament, God is talking about Gentiles being saved. They were in darkness, but they're going to come to the light. Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." He's talking to the Jewish people. You are going to be a light to the Gentiles. You are going to give them the good news of the Messiah. And you could read in the book of Acts how that happened. You know, the church originally was all Jewish, but that died down and they began to reject him. And again, the door was open to the Gentiles. And one more in John 10:16. Jesus talks about other sheep he's bringing into the fold. He said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." In other words, he's saying, look, the Jews are part of my flock. They're mine. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Who's he talking to about? He's talking about Gentiles, you and me. They're going to be brought in. And you know what? There's going to be one shepherd. For who? For Jew and Gentile. And then Paul talked about that in Ephesians. He's broken down that middle wall of division and he's brought us together in Christ. That's why I really don't like, you know, messianic churches, biker churches, cowboy churches. Why? Because you're dividing the body of Christ. Why can't you just have church? And, you know, years ago, when I went to a pastor's conference in Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck put it on, and the coolest thing was to go to church, and you see guys, they have, you know, biker jackets, they got the chains on, they got tattoos all over the place, and they're standing next to a guy who's got a three-piece suit on, and their arms around each other praising God. And there's a guy with, you know, sandals and shorts and a Hawaiian t-shirt that was the pastor. No. But you get the idea. It doesn't matter who you are. We are one in Christ. You know, it's just not Calvary Chapel. Think about all the churches in town and all the Christians that are in town. We're part of the same body, and we're going to spend eternity together. Let's work together for the kingdom of God. It's not our kingdom. It's not the kingdom of Calvary Chapel. It's the kingdom of God. And we have to keep that in mind, that we don't, you know, we were talking earlier about a church that feels that they are the one true church. And I know they're not, because there is no one true church. It's called God's church. That's the one true church. Let's not be so narrow-minded. Let's be open. And I love that, you know, they say to Philip, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Wouldn't you love someone saying that to you? "Hey, can you tell me about Jesus?" "Oh, man, yeah, I can." I mean, I would be so excited. You don't get that too often. But, you know, he ends up going to Andrew and tells him. And they both go and tell Jesus. Why? Well, maybe because these are Greeks. They're Gentiles. I don't know. It's possible. You know, today the gospel message is open for everyone. And we have to be, we have to shine brightly in this dark times. It's real easy. You know, I was talking with someone yesterday about, you know, compromise. And I said, you know, the world will never be satisfied with your compromise. They want you to compromise. But once you compromise on one issue, they're going to want you to compromise more and more and more. And when you look at some of the things that churches are doing today, you see what compromise has done. We got to be careful. We got to stay focused on what God has said in his word and trust it, believe it, and live it. You know, our relationship with God cannot be superficial, especially in the days we're living in, because you get swept away by all this garbage that's going on out there. You'll be taken in. You know, people have been so captivated by all the information on Facebook and YouTube that they spend all their time being consumed by this, and they're uneasy. They're mad. And I say, well, you need to read the Bible, because it talks about the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of being mad. I'd rather know what God has to say. Yeah, well, I don't want to be, you know, close-minded to the things that are happening in this world. You know, I was talking with someone yesterday, and someone they know has gotten into alcohol. And the reason being, to justify this, because he's a Christian, is we cannot minister to those who drink alcohol and are alcoholics unless we drink. Okay, well, let's think about that. You know, we're ministering now to prostitutes. So do I let my wife become a prostitute and I become a pimp so I can understand how that all plays out? Well, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Well, then how can I minister to them? Because I have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Spirit of God will open the Word of God to their hearts and their lives, and he'll give me the things to say to those people. I don't have to become one of them. Now, if I came out of a lifestyle of alcoholism or drug abuse, then I understand some of those things, but I don't go into it so I can minister to them. It just makes no sense. So let's be wise in the days we're living in. Let's take the Word of God, knowledge, and apply it to our lives, wisdom. That's something that we don't see a lot of here in John. The Jewish people, they had the information, they just didn't apply it because it didn't agree with what they wanted. Same with the Jewish religious leaders. The disciples, they did get it, but they got it even more after the Holy Spirit came in them. Guys, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and he's coming again as the Lion from the tribe of Judah to put down man's rebellion against him and to set up his kingdom. We long for that day, but boy, let's use the time we have now to spread the good news, because it's the only hope for our families, it's the only hope for our communities, it's the only hope for our state, it's the only hope for our nation, and it's the only hope for the world, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word. And Lord, you are so precise. The exact day that you gave to Daniel that you would come and ride through Jerusalem on a colt came to pass. And so many saw it, and yet they didn't believe. They knew what your word said, and yet they refused to see it. Lord, help us to keep our eyes open to you, to your word, to your Spirit's leading, that you would guide us all the days of our lives, that we would shine for you and have such a boldness to proclaim your word to people, Lord, in the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much for your love and for your word and for your Spirit and for your forgiveness. And I can go on and on and on and on, but we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.